Paul, could I ask you to pray for Colin before he speaks, please? That would be great. Thank you. Come, we're so thrilled to have Colin here today. Let's give him a big hand. Hey!
Thanks, Paul.
Father, we just thank you for Colin. We think he's a man of integrity, that he loves you so much. He has a passion for you, for your kingdom. And I just ask that you just fill his mouth with the right words so that he can just share what's in deep in his heart, what you want to convey to us as a group of folk this evening even. So, Father, I just pray blessing on Colin now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Good. This next 3 weeks, we're going to have a little series on the blessed life. We're doing part one today. I'm not here next week. I'm in France, celebrating someone's 50th, which should be lovely. But Jill is standing in for me, which would be lovely. And then the third, I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. So it's a three-week series on the blessed life. This is part one, First Things First, and it's based on this book, Robert Morris's The Blessed Life. And I went over to visit Robert Morris's church this time last year, actually, with Billy Kennedy and Carl Wills. We had a fantastic time, and he gave us a copy of this book, which is written by a senior pastor of that church, Gateway Church in Dallas, Texas. And it really challenged me. It really blessed me. And so I felt the Holy Spirit say, you know, come on, Colin, you know, release this over the church. So that's why we're doing a 3-week series in every one of the River churches. And you're the last guys, so by no means last. First shall be last shall be first, and all that. But one sad thing is, every other church I've been to, I've taken a stack of these books, okay, and sold them. I asked Tony at Quench if he would get me a whole stack more, and he scoured the country, and he can't find any. He can't find any. So it is on Kindle. You can download it. It's cheaper. If you've got a Kindle, you can download it. Tony won't like me saying that. But since we can't get paper copies, that's the thing to do. Download it. I have this one copy for the first person who wants to come and buy it afterwards. It costs £12. You can have it. And I guarantee you it will be a challenging read, but a fantastic read. Really, really encouraging. And, yeah. So, okay, we'll look at First Things First. And in the book of Deuteronomy, one of the first 5 books of the Bible, in 4 different places, it says that God's going to bless the work of our hands. That everything we might put our hand to will be blessed. That we can live a blessed life. And the verses are up there. And, you know, in 3 out of 4 of those places where it mentions that, it's talking about money. Which is kind of an old thing. It's not a very British thing, is it, to talk about money? But in 3 out of 4 places where it talks about that I may bless you and everything you put your hand to might be blessed, it's in the context of being generous. So there's obviously a link there. Let's going to read one of them from Deuteronomy chapter 14, and we'll read verses 27 to 29. You shall not forsake the Levite, that's a kind of priest, who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you. At the end of every 3rd year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion nor inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates, may come and eat and be satisfied. That the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand, which you do. Who wants all the works of their hands to be blessed? Come on. We all do, don't we? Let's face it. We all want that. We all want to live in a blessed life. And here's one of the secrets of that is actually to bring in some of our produce, some of our hard-earned, and actually for the less fortunate. And I love this, you know, because sometimes people just are almost like arbitrarily categorize the Old Testament and New Testament, God as being angry and a bit judgmental and a bit of a lawgiver in the old, and all nice and sweet in Jesus and kind, you know. But actually, that's complete rubbish, because it's the same God throughout. And it's, if you read the Old Testament with a really open heart, you can see that God's compassion shows through all the time. And here, he's just laying down some principles for living a good, blessed life to the people. And one of the high things in God's heart is the fatherless, the widow, the alien, those in society who might get left out, who might not have something substantial to live on. They might be struggling. And God's heart is actually that the people of the land, us, would actually contribute towards their welfare. So, it's about love in the Old Testament as well as the New. That's God's heart. And wherever it talks about this blessed life, it seems to say that it's linked up somehow to the way we handle our money. And Robert Morris, in his book, makes a powerful argument to suggest that that's the case, pointing to generosity being a key to releasing blessed life. Now, one of the stories he tells is absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, there's loads of mind-boggling stories in this book, and I'll tell a few over the next few weeks. But the one it opens up with, where God starts to teach him about this whole thing about generosity, is absolutely mind-blowing. So he's a young man, just got married. He's an itinerant preacher. So he relies on the fact that he gets 4 or 5 preaching gigs a week. Not a week, a month. And they've got married. They've just rented a home and they're trying to make their way in life. And 1 month, he's only got one booking. Just one church he's preaching at. And he's really exercised about this. He's saying, how are we going to pay the bills this month? I just don't know how we're going to do it. So he's praying and believing God's going to bless him. So he goes to this one church and he preaches his heart out. And at the end, the minister comes up and takes an offering and says that we support this guy, as they always did. And afterwards, the pastor comes up and says, "Hey, Robert, you're really blessed. We've got the biggest offering we've ever had." And he gives him a check, which covers his expenses for the whole month. 5 or 6 meetings worth. He thinks, "Oh, that's fantastic. God, you're faithful." And then he looks up, and across the room, he catches the eye of a missionary who's just been sharing in the same service about the work he's doing. And he feels the Holy Spirit say to him, "God loves to talk to us, you know that, don't you?" It's not a freaky thing. God loves it. And Janine yesterday was fantastic, by the way. Absolutely fantastic, the way she made that so accessible, so encouraged us all, wherever we are, that we can hear God. Anyway, he looked across the room, and he felt the Holy Spirit say to him, "I want you to give that check to the missionary that you've just got." And he said, "God, you cannot be serious." You know, he went from high, 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 thinking, "God's amazing. He's provided everything I need for this month," to low, 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 thinking, "What am I going to do now? Can't be God. Must be Satan, trying to rob me of this." But he knew the voice of God, and he said, "Okay." And he was obedient. So what he did, when no one was looking, he crossed his name out and wrote the other guy's name on the check and signed it over. And when no one was looking, he handed it to the missionary and said, "There you are, be blessed." And then they went off for a meal afterwards with the other guys from the church. And he found himself sat opposite a well-dressed guy he'd never met before. And the guy over dinner says to him, "So, Robert, how much was in the offering today?" He thought, "The cheeky git." he was stalling. "Well, I don't want to tell this guy, what we got in the offering today. It's a bit personal. How much did you make this month? In your business, it's that kind of push in. It's not the thing to do." And so he tells him, and he couldn't think of a reason why not. And then he says, "Can I see the check?" And he thought, "Oh boy." And this is where you find the preacher who's just been preaching the good news about Jesus lying. And he says, "I would show you the check, but my wife's got it. And she was sitting over the other side of the restaurant," and he thought it would just be dropped. The guy says, "Go get it." So up he gets, walks over to his wife, you could be my wife now, just bends down and says, "Hey dear, how's the pizza?" And she looks at him a bit strange. He just comes back and says, "Oh, do you know what?" Sits down and says, My wife's not got the check either. She's left her bag in the car. We parked right across the other side of the mall, so sorry about that. And the guy looks at him in the eye and says, you haven't got it, have you? He came close to swearing. How dare you accuse me? Yeah. But obviously, he did. And all this thing was going on inside him, but he just said, and whilst he was struggling to know how to respond, the guy said, God told me you haven't got it. And then he said the very profound word. He said, Robert, God is teaching you the importance of generosity so that you can teach the church. And then he handed him an envelope. And in the envelope was a check for 10 times the amount that he'd given away that morning. Now, that is incredible, isn't it? I love that story for so many different levels. I love it because people are hearing God, and you know, that's the best thing in life. I love it because what a profound beginning to a ministry. I'm going to teach you about generosity and about giving so that you can go ahead and teach the church. And you know, he's built now the second biggest church in the States. They have over 20-odd thousand people turn up to their 5 campuses on a weekend. And, you know, in Britain we might think, oh, that's a bit big, that's a bit impersonal, you know. Big's not very good, is it, in church? We much keep it small. And he says, we don't like to think of ourselves as big, a big church. We think of ourselves as a small town. Everybody wants to live in a small town, don't they? Because small towns have got that community heart. It's fantastic. Anyway, and this is a topic that I haven't taught on in River. You haven't heard me teach on it much at all, because it's not one that we generally teach about, because we're British and, you know, what's yours is yours, and, you know, we don't like to speak about money and things like that because it's a bit touchy. And yet, it's been foundational to my walk with Jesus. My testimony is that when I got saved, I joined a church over in Hayes, led by a chap called Michael Hastings, who's now Lord Hastings. And within 5 weeks of getting saved, at the end of one church service, he hands me a standing order form and says, Colin, you've got to give 10% to the church. I think I've joined a cult. And I was shocked, actually. And I didn't know what to do. I was in love with Jesus. You know, I had met Jesus in a powerful way. Someone had bought me a Bible and it spoke to me, and I had this amazing revelation of God's goodness. And here's the man saying, actually, what I need to do now is give 10% of my income to the church. And I was just coming out of debt, or trying to get out of debt, and I thought, well, okay, I'll start tithing in January, next month. I have 1 month off Christmas, because that was a bit of a heavy month, and I was still trying to get out of debt. I said, I'll start tithing in January. And I remember, I think my tithe at that time was £90. Seems like a small amount now. But, I can honestly say that from that day to this, I have not been in debt again. So for me, I thank God for Mike teaching me about giving. If I'd have waited until a few years down the line when I was earning more money, that might have been a harder thing to do. But this thing about giving is much more than sowing and reaping. It's much more than just giving to get. It's actually about living a blessed life. And that's what Robert is trying to really get hold of, which is why he calls his book The Blessed Life. It's filled with stories of God's provision, divine coincidences, heavenly blessings. And that's his heart for us. God's heart is for all of us to live a blessed life, a life that's full of blessing. Not just blessed, but overflowing, abundant life. That's what Jesus came to bring. And it's like almost like supernatural powers of goodness working for you in everything that you do. You know, you look at your life, count your blessings. I like to do that. I like to look at my life and think, like, I've seen God's supernatural blessing on my life. I just told you one about the money thing. Okay, I was in debt when I started to tithe, and since the moment I started to tithe, I've not been in debt. Fantastic. But I look at it from all kinds of different angles. I've seen fantastic blessing on my life from God. You know, and I joined Paul Turnbull in his Delta Scheme in his spare bedroom after God really, I got about 8 different words from God that I should join him. I joined him and left a promising job for a bigger company. And yet God really blessed us. We grew the company from 2 to 30-odd people. We had a great time. And it wasn't because we were clever at business. We weren't clever at business still, but God just blessed our work. And so that was fantastic. And then I moved into Maidenhead out of Marlow and looking to where to send Rachel to school, you know, one of my beautiful children. And the local school was just 2 minutes walk around the corner. And everyone was telling us, don't send your kid to Lowbrook Primary School. It's awful. It's on special measures. It's going to close down any minute. It's only got about 60 pupils. So Satan and I went to have a look at it, and we thought, oh, it seems like a lovely school. It's a very nice atmosphere. And we thought, well, we can cope with whatever the school doesn't do. We'll make up in academic-wise. So we'll send Rachel there. Do you know, now, from being on special measures to being one of the worst schools being threatened to be closed down, that school is now the 5th best primary school in the country. People are actually moving into our road now to send their kids to that school. Yeah, and I'm not claiming any responsibility for that, but I'm just looking at the blessing on our family, on our life because of that. It's fantastic. It's just like favour that rests on you. I went to Nepal. My wife and I lived in Nepal for a year. You know, and some missionaries go for a long time to places and they've struggled to make breakthroughs and see things happen. But, you know, we planted 2 schools of ministry out in Nepal, Bible school, and another school in Kathmandu. And the churches we were working out there said we brought revival to them. That's fantastic. That was a blessed year. So, you know, just look at your life. Count the blessings of God. But one way to enter into this blessing is about the whole area of generosity. Okay. Is it going to go? Oh, there we go. It's gone too far. Firstborn, look at that. Any ideas who that is? Yeah? He's the boy that was reading a minute ago. John in Kathmandu. Okay. We look at the firstborn. The first belongs to God. You know, there are over 500 references to faith in the Bible, 500 to prayer, but over 2,000 to wealth and possessions. Jesus talks about wealth in 16 out of his 38 parables. Money's a kind of test for us. How we handle it. It kind of exposes what's going on in our hearts. We can kid ourselves very easily about what's going on in our hearts. You know, the heart is deceitful above all things, the Bible tells us. It's very easy to con ourselves. But actually, when it comes to looking at what we do with our money, that's a really good indicator to where our hearts actually are. It's just, we can't con that. It's, you know, it's a material thing. So God sets us up and, you know, he loves for us not to walk in deception. So he gives us these things so we can see clearly what's going on in our hearts. So one of the ways we look at what's going on in our hearts is to look at the firstborn. Exodus 13, chapter 2, chapter 13, verse 2. It says, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever opens the womb among the children of Israel, both man and beast. And down at 12 and 13, it says that you shall set apart to the Lord all that open the womb, that in every firstborn that comes from an animal which you have, the male shall be the Lord's. But every firstborn of a donkey you shall redeem with a lamb. And if you will not redeem it, then you shall break its neck. And all the firstborn of man among your sons you shall redeem. The first one belongs to God. You know, that's quite a test, isn't it? It's a step of faith. You know, when a farmer has a ewe, which is bearing lambs, if he gives the first one away, there's no guarantee he's going to get any more. So when we give the first one away, it's a huge step of faith. Likewise, when we give the first fruits of our income away, that's a step of faith. There's no guarantee that we'll have enough. But you know, faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the thing that releases the favor of God. He loves it when we step out and actually trust him. It's stepping out in faith that releases the desires of our heart. Faith, it says, is the substance of things hoped for in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And that's what Jesus did when he offered himself on the cross. It says, while we were still sinners, he died for us. Before we could guarantee what kind of response he'd get, he hung there on the cross for us, believing that that would be enough, a step of faith, believing that would be enough to win our hearts, that we'd follow him. So that's what giving our firstborn or our first fruits is about. You know, it's about giving to God before we know we'll have enough for ourselves. So that I'm putting you first in my life. I'm trusting you to take care of the rest of my life. That, you know, it's the same principle when we go to church. You know, Sunday is the first day of the week. We often think of it as being the last day of the week, which is a bit of a shame. We give God the end of our... If we have that in our minds, we give God the end bit, the last little bit, especially if we have church on a Sunday evening. But actually, Sunday is the beginning of the week, and we get the first part of our time, in that sense, to God, believing he's going to bless the rest of our time. And it's not a legalistic thing. It's just a blessing thing. It's a step of faith. They're saying, actually, God, I need to give you this time. Trusting that he's going to give and bless the rest of it. You know, when you think about your week, when does your week begin? Does it begin on Monday morning when you rush to get the kids to school? Does it begin Monday morning when you get the telephone, pick up the telephone to make your first deal? Is that the beginning of your week? Or is it actually right now, today? What's first? Take a moment to think about that. Maybe it's Friday night when you go out for a drink with your mates. But I would really encourage us all to think about today being the first day and this being the first part of our week that we're giving to God. First fruits is a very, very similar principle. It says, the first of the first fruits of your land, you shall bring into the house of the Lord. Exodus 23:19. Not some charity, not a good cause. You know, the Israelites were expected to care for the widows and the orphans, the poor, the aliens. But actually, they were to bring in their first fruits into the house of God. And it says in Proverbs 3, verses 9 to 10, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. The Lord taught them first fruits again and again. It's a really important principle. And it's not because God is a legalistic God trying to get us to do something, but actually it's just he's trying to teach us a way of blessing. So when they enter the promised land, they take Jericho. He says, devote Jericho to me. Give me all that you would have got out of Jericho. Give it to me. And I'll give you the rest of the land. You see, of course, they didn't do that, did they? Achan took some of that Jericho stuff and hid it in his tent. And then when the Israelites tried to take more of the land, they failed. The first fruits are supposed to be consecrated to God. And when we take it, when we don't give it to God, we steal it. That's what he's saying. It becomes almost like a curse. It actually, we wander out from the way of blessing. That's what it says in Malachi chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. It says, when we don't bring our tithe into the house of the Lord, we rob God. But, you know, some of you are saying, Colin, hold on a minute, this sounds like law. What you're teaching us now is legalism. This is just a way of you getting money into the church. Actually, you know, you couldn't be further from the truth. I really am not teaching this so that you can give more to River. Because actually, if you felt that, I'd rather you give your money to another church. What this is about is establishing the path of blessing on our lives. I want everybody in this room to live the most blessed life they can. And for, you know, my honest assessment is that generosity is a key to living a blessed life. You know, you could argue, say, Colin, that's an Old Testament law. You know, we don't teach tithing. And you're right, we haven't taught tithing in River for years and years and years. And we don't on purpose, because we are under grace and not under law. But there are many Old Testament laws that we still follow. Yeah, and Jesus didn't come to abolish them, he came to fulfill them. So you get the law which says you shall not commit murder. And Jesus says, no, that was just to try and teach you not to hate your brother. The fulfillment of it is actually to love everyone and bless your enemies. The fulfillment is so much more. I could only show you back then what you could cope with, which was don't kill. But now, living in the fullness, it's bless your enemy. Same when you look at adultery. Back then, all you could understand was don't sleep with your neighbor's wife. It's not good. But now, I tell you, don't even look at the person with lustful eyes, because it only leads to you doing the wrong stuff. It fills your heart with all kinds of wrong motives. In the same way, back then, give 10% was a way of me helping you understand that generosity was a key to being blessed and all the work of your hands being blessed. But now, this is about living a generous life. This is just about being generous. That's walking in the way of blessing. It's like honour your father and mother, that it may be, go well with you, you may live long in the land. It's just the way of blessing. God, all of God's laws were never meant to be stuff that we just had to obey. They were to teach us a heart thing, a heart response, to release blessing into our lives. You know, just to tell you one more story, personal story for us, which was amazing. God is incredible. You know, and before someone comes up to me and speaks to me at the end about this, you know, what I'm not saying is that if you don't give, God won't bless you. You know, I tell you right now, whoever you are, whatever you're giving, whatever you're doing in church, God's going to bless you. Because God cannot help himself but to bless his children. But what I'm saying is actually we walk in even greater blessings and more abundant blessings when we do these things. And God's heart for us is that we walk in the greatest blessings that we can. So just one more story. You know, when I was working at Delta Scheme, we had our ups and downs. You know, sometimes we did really well, sometimes we didn't do so well. And at one point, we were given bonuses and every quarter or so, and I got a bonus one quarter. And the people that are working for me that quarter didn't get a bonus. So my wife was praying about this, and she said, Colin, I think the Lord would have us give that away. I think we should give it away. Seems like an honourable thing to do. And I'm thinking, oh, I needed that bonus. My wife is so brilliant. And so we prayed about it. And I said, yeah, I think you're right. I think we should give it away. £10,000, we should give it away. We were already going to give away 1,000 because the 1,000 was the Lord's anyhow. That's the tithe. But actually, we give away the other 9,000. Why not? Let's do it. So we gave it away. And a couple of years later, I was actually come back from Nepal. And I linked these on purpose because just to show you that God is amazing. I come back from Nepal, and I really feel that God is saying to us, to me, that I should not go back into computing. That I should give myself to the church to build his kingdom. And so I chat with Paul Turnbull, who leads Delta Scheme, and he says to me, well, Colin, if you want to do less work, the only option is to do no work for us. So I said, okay, I wasn't planning on that exactly. I thought I might get away with doing a bit less, lose some money. But we prayed about it, my wife and I, and we thought, okay, God is calling me to do this, so let's do it. So we said, okay, in that case, it's nothing. That's easy to say at one level, when you've got a little bit of money. But then when the money runs out, you think, oh my word, what are we going to do? And 2 months in, you know, it was very, very stressful. As you look to say, how I'm going to have to go and get a job now. And then someone prophesies over me. Someone in this congregation comes to me and prophesies and said, Colin, don't worry, God's going to give you a salary of 70K next year. And I think, bless. Nobody pays volunteer workers 70K if they don't have to. That shows you where I was at. But you know, within 3 weeks or 4 weeks of her giving me that word from the Lord, somebody came to buy some shares in a company that we had set up, and which were worth nothing at one level. And I shouldn't have even known because I'd resigned my directorship of the company. But Paul had let me keep them, much to the annoyance of the person who was running that company. He kept me on the books. So they actually bought my shares for £85,000, which after tax was nearly 70K, about 72K or something. How amazing is that? I tell you that, you know, that God is amazing. His heart for each one of us here this afternoon, I nearly said this morning, his heart for each one of us here this afternoon is for blessing. He's faithful. And this thing of generosity is not something to look at and say, what must I do to meet God's standard? It's nothing to do with that. It's actually, what can I do for myself to release the blessing of God in my life? Be generous. So, Father, I just want to thank you that you're a God who's so gracious to us, always treating us better than we deserve. I thank you for Robert Morris. I thank you for sending that man into his life with that message. I thank you for taking him on that journey, teaching him about generosity, about giving, that he may teach your church. I thank you for the stories, Lord God, that he shares. I thank you for the stories you've given me to share and those of us in this room, Lord God. You've shown yourself faithful again and again, a great provider. But I just want to pray again for us all, Father, that we would grow in the grace of giving. That we'd all grow in that grace, that we'd all live a blessed life. And you've shown us that the key to that is generosity, because you're a generous God and we want to be like you. So I want to pray your favor on people in this room, Lord Jesus. As they think back over their lives and see the blessings, I want to release greater blessing on them today in your name. And pray, Father, for your grace to change our hearts, to stir us up again in this whole gift, grace of giving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless you, Lord. And be good. I don't know how you want to finish it, but be good to worship God. But also, in that, if there's anybody in the room who is struggling at the moment and needs a breakthrough in feeling that their life isn't blessed, then there's an area of your life you want to see breakthrough in, then I'm really happy to pray for breakthrough for you, because I know that God is a God of abundant breakthrough and blessing.
Thanks so much, Cole. That was absolutely brilliant.